Our scripture for this morning is Isaiah 65, verses 19 through 25, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. And dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we come together this morning, we're certainly thankful for the slightly warmer weather and the sunshine this morning. Lord, we're thankful for this warm facility that you have blessed us with, and you continue to bless us to be able to remodel and plan for the future and plan for the future of this church, knowing that as long as we stay true to you, you will continue to bless it. Lord, I want to pray for our country this morning. Certainly there is a lot going on. We pray for the folks suffering in California from the wildfires. Lord, we pray for the people continuing to suffer in North Carolina after the storms there. And even in our own community, we pray for the folks in Tiffin that lost their housing in the apartment fire this past week. Lord, I want to pray for peace in our own country. We see in this text talking about the peace that the world will enjoy under your reign. Lord, we think of the division in our own country, and certainly, Lord, politics cause a division. Political change causes a division, but Lord, peace comes through a relationship with you and looking to you instead of looking to others. Lord, I pray that for all of us who choose to call ourselves Christians, that we would look to you for peace and not to leaders. Lord, I want to pray this morning for our children's ministry leaders who will be teaching the children this morning. I want to pray for the ladies as they lead us in music. Lord, I want to pray for Pastor as he teaches us your word. Lord, we thank you and praise you. Amen.
Before we get started, I just wanted to acknowledge, I was glued to the TV on Monday, and so somebody said, well, how do you sleep with yourself? And I thought of that commercial all night long. Anyhow, I slept good Monday night knowing that leadership has come back to the federal government. But two things moved me this week. When I saw Marco Rubio being sworn in as the Secretary of State, and then he said some things, and then he goes, can I take 15 seconds to talk to his people in Spanish? So when he went to see the Panamanian president, he didn't need an interpreter because he speaks Spanish very well as a Cuban descendant. And then I loved it when he was done speaking in Spanish, and he said, I just said I saved a bunch of money switching to Geico. You know, everybody got a laugh. But then he went on to say these words, and I found it on the government website, what he said. He ended by saying this, and I want to end by thanking Almighty God and my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is truly the singular purpose of our lives. It's the most important priority. It's the only thing that will matter when we take our last breath on earth. But this is an extraordinary opportunity that would not have been possible without God's blessings. Isn't that remarkable when a government figure gives Jesus the glory? And then Pete Hegseth, obviously he made it in. He's a warrior. I think he's going to do great. But when he got up to speak, he got choked up just a bit. And then he says, all praise and glory to God. His will be done. And then he went on to say that he is where he is because of Jesus and Jenny, his wife. That is just fresh air to my ears to hear that. So I just want to thank God for that. Also, a brief word to our young men and women. You know, when we talk about prophetic things, and I've been hearing prophecy taught ever since I came to Christ at 16. And so I've been hearing prophetic things. And I know Rick said, Lamar, how do you know so much about this? Because I have sat under the godly teaching of men and women over these many years who have invested into me. I have also listened and read material by men who love Jesus. And they take his word literally as his word, and I've read their materials, and so I have learned and grown, and I've also, even in my previous 35 years in my previous church, I taught adult Sunday school, and I led Bible studies, and I preached, and so to prepare, one has to study. So that's where I have learned all of these things. But to the young men and women in our church, I don't want you to hear prophecy and think, oh, golly, Jesus could come back and I may never get a chance to get married or I may never get a chance to finish college. You can't live and think that way. As believers, we live and move and breathe in God's will. So you have to continue to move forward and you have to make those plans. For college or marriage or whatever, what you're going to do as a job. You can't just shut that all down and think, well, I'm going to sit under a tree because Jesus is coming back and they say it's going to be soon, so I might as well not even plan. That's wrong thinking. That's stinking thinking. You and I are to continue to move forward with the time that God gives us. And when the time comes, even if it would happen, he would come before something that you hope to have happen didn't happen. I trust me, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy and peace. You will not feel bad about something that you thought on this side of glory, oh, I didn't get a chance to do that, so, you know, and he took me too soon. You just continue to trust him. Pray and seek his will. Make your plans. Move forward, hopefully with God in your plans. You know, that's the sad thing. So many young people in church, they hear this and then they either reject it or they don't want to consider it because Jesus could come back. And no, he will never ruin anything that you're doing. Continue to trust him. Continue to move forward. Any other thoughts on that matter, Pastor Nathan? I mean, here I am, 63 years old, and I've been hearing it since I was 16 as a new believer in all these years, and he hasn't come yet. So I'm glad I went to college, became a teacher, and moved forward and did all those things. So I don't want you to throw any of that away. But don't stop loving on Jesus, because he will bless you in your young age, and as you grow, you will experience the goodness of God. We've been talking about what the earth will be like when Jesus comes back. I know President Trump talks about a golden age, and I don't want to take away from any of that because obviously righteous, good leadership can bring about prosperity and lots of good things. But you and I know that full golden age, that's why Dr. David Jeremiah wrote a book about the coming golden age. But he's not talking about these days. He's talking about when Jesus comes back to planet Earth to make Earth great again, and he definitely will make Israel great again. They will experience all that was promised to Abraham that has never been realized. Promise made, promise will be kept, but it'll be in its due time. We heard from Isaiah chapter 65, Isaiah was given details about what that will be like when Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, returns to planet Earth. So two Sundays ago, I talked about true justice will be brought back to the earth because Jesus himself, who knows hearts, will be able to make righteous judgments, perfect judgments. So that will come back. And then the second Sunday in the series, we talked about the peace that will come to planet Earth. I mean, environmental peace, tectonic peace, no volcanoes, no earthquakes. Peace will come back over the planet because the curse will be lifted. Jesus is ruling and reigning from planet Earth. And now, today, my third sermon in the series, which will end it, but it doesn't end all the details. Trust you me. Even when I give you verses, I'm only giving you a sampling. I mean, if we wanted to sit down and Bible study on the matter, I could flood you with scripture after scripture from Ezekiel to Jeremiah to Isaiah, talking not about now, but talking about then, that time in the future when Jesus is back on the planet. I want to conclude this idea of what the millennial kingdom will be like by talking about its productivity and, yes, its prosperity. When God blesses you, even now, there's nothing wrong with Christians having wealth. I mean, we have demonized wealthy people in this country that somehow they're evil. They're not paying their fair share. And yet, when you listen to the statistics of the collections from the IRS, guaranteed that the rich do pay a higher percentage than those who are deemed low income, who usually pay nothing into the system, and that's a huge number, by the way. Obviously, the middle class gets socked with their amount as well. But there will be prosperity, and there will be productivity, and we're going to look at that today. It will happen at the end of the seven-year tribulation that we read about in Revelation. We read about Revelation 19, Jesus coming back with the heavenly host. It's going to run 1,000 years before the eternal kingdom will be ushered in. It will be an amazing time. We've looked at just some of the scriptures. It will be really a golden age. And this period will not be characterized by idleness, but prosperity, yes, and productivity. There will be a perfect economic system in which the needs of the people will be abundantly provided for. There will be a fully developed industrialized society providing for the needs of the king's subjects. So the question one might ask is, how will this be accomplished? King Jesus is going to remove barriers to productivity and prosperity. And as I said, over the past 2 weeks, we've looked at some of the actions that are in Scripture. I'm not making this stuff up. It's in the Word of God. We just need to connect the dots and put it together in a way that we can understand it. He's going to remove certain barriers, obstacles to keeping that from happening. Because remember, he's coming back physically to rule and reign. I don't care what the amillennials say. Their teaching is, well, he's going to do it through his triumphant church. I don't know if you realize it or not, but the people of God struggle to get the gospel out. We're denied access in some countries. There are places of the world where you cannot just go in and share Jesus. You can't even open places of worship. You can't even meet in homes to praise Jesus. Do I need to name them? North Korea, China really cracked down. You've got Saudi Arabia and other Islamic countries. You can't just go out and say, I love Jesus. They stone people for things like that. We've even had Daniel Shiesta, who grew up in Iran, share what life is like to those who love Jesus. He lives in Australia now because they put a death thing on his head. So, the first barrier, I've got five I want to hit on this morning. The first barrier that Jesus is going to remove is crime and war. Crime and war. They're some of the greatest obstacles to productivity and prosperity. But think about this. We're told that in Revelation 20, Satan and all of his demons that roam about doing their dastardly deeds are going to be removed from the scene. You can't say the devil whispered some sweet nothing in my ear during that 1,000 years. They're going to be removed. Revelation 20, verses 2 and 3. The Antichrist, the world last Gentile world dictator who's going to have his armies turn on Jesus, you read about in Revelation 19. He's going to be arrested along with the religious person, the false prophet who propped him up. Because you see, government and religion can be a powerful force to dominate the world. They're going to be taken, we're told, and cast alive into the lake of fire. That's it for them. Now you can suffer eternally. We're told that anybody on the earth when Jesus comes back who's taken the mark of the beast, who has willingly given their soul to the devil and marked themselves, will be removed from the planet. And in Matthew 25, verses 34 and verse 46, we're told that Jesus will come and judge between the nations. He'll have the sheep and the goats. The sheep represent the people who survived the 7-year tribulation, putting their faith in Jesus. They were not martyred. They made it. They're going to be his earthly subjects. They get to stay on planet Earth. The goats represent those who followed Satan, the Antichrist. They are going to be removed. We're told, we looked at this in the first message I did, that Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. And in Scripture, that means supreme authority. Rod of iron. You get doinked with one of those, you're going to know better. That means, biblically, Jesus' word is final. Period. And when he pronounces judgment, it's done. So any open rebellion, any open resistance to his rule or to his law will be met with death. Death will be rare, but it will happen in that 1,000-year kingdom, because those who openly defy Jesus will die. They will drop dead. This is going to keep criminals from interfering in a productive society. They're not going to be able to operate like they do now, in the shade of night and carrying out their dastardly deeds. Micah 4:3 tells us that no one will learn war anymore. Now, I like a good war movie, and I know some people love to study the art of war and so forth. Enjoy it now, because when the King of Peace comes back, the military academies, bases, all that we have to put investment into because of the sin-cursed world we live in, are done. Micah 4:3, they will learn of war no more. This is also declared in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. In Micah 4:4, I think Zach has this verse. It says, every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. For the Lord Almighty has spoken. There will be no criminal rings, no gangs operating when King Jesus comes back. They're not going to be allowed to carry out, because the King of Peace has come back. And you and I will, some of us actually remember, I know it's, I didn't grow up this way, but when I married my wife, and she and her sister owned a house because their mother had passed away, and so it was three's company for a few years, living there with my wife and her sister. But they had this habit of not locking their doors at night. And I said, you got to lock these doors. She goes, no, nothing ever happens here. And I said, I'm sorry. I didn't grow up. I mean, I grew up in Gibsonburg, but we didn't leave our doors unlocked. I don't know. I just had a very mistrusting mom. But so that was a compromise we had to make. Lock the door at night. Because sometimes, you know, her siblings would just kind of come walking over and just come on in the house. Well, I may not be ready to receive company yet, you know. Not that I was doing anything indecent in front of her sister, but the fact is, lock the door. But that won't be necessary, because no one will dare do what we've heard that in prophecy, that an old man will be able to see his projects through, and nobody's going to come swooping in and stealing it and wrecking it. Why? Because Jesus is on the planet, and that will not be tolerated. Isaiah 62, verses 8 and 9. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm. It's not going to be a chief justice giving the oath of office here. It's the Almighty swearing by his own authority. Never again will I give your grain as food for your enemies. Never again will foreigners drink the new wine for which you have toiled. But those who harvest it will eat it and praise the Lord. You see, that's a prophecy that what you grow is yours to be blessed by. What you make is yours to be blessed by. When you Google the cost of crime, the statistics, I Googled this and it was overwhelming. Let's just consider retail crime. Some of us actually worked in retail. I know Heather did for many years. Penny's or Kohl's, was it? Kohl's. According to the National Retail Federation, in 2022, not too long ago, the retail industry reported losing $112.1 billion in theft. In 1 year, $112.1 billion. And that was a 19% increase from 2021. The Ohio Council of Retail Merchants estimates that Ohio businesses alone lose between $2 and $3 billion each year from internal theft, as well as even rogue employees. And lest you think it's just a big box store problem, 85% of small businesses report retail theft that can cost them on average $2,500 a year. Now think about it. You run a small business. Walmart can probably deal with $2,500. They're not going to like it, but they can deal with it. But imagine you're a small mom and pop kind of gift shop or store, and you lose $2,500 of merchandise in just 1 year. But it must be noted that God's word has called for mercy on those who steal because they're hungry. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 30 and 31, we're told, do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he is starving. Yet, if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold. So even in the word of God, stealing was definitely not approved. But there was an understanding, if somebody is starving, you know, you got to give them a little bit of a break, but they're still expected to pay back what they stole sevenfold. But under King Jesus, none of this is going to be necessary during his millennial kingdom. This is the point of Isaiah chapter 65. Remember, Isaiah prophesied it in Isaiah 65, verse 22. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. Remember in the ancient world, farmers, people who built, sometimes were invaded. They had to flee their homes. They had to flee their fields so that the enemy came in and occupied their homes. The enemy came in and harvested their crops and ate their livestock. The services that are paid for title protection. You see those commercials on TV, how your house can be stolen from under you by identity theft and title theft? Those services are not going to be needed when King Jesus is back on the earth. People will not work in vain for others to steal it. No one will be allowed to deprive people of what is rightfully theirs, blessed by God, to have. So that's the first barrier out. Another barrier that's going to be removed is poor health. According to the study from the Integrated Benefits Institute, poor health cost employers in our country an average of $575 billion in lost productivity in 2023 alone. $575 billion in lost productivity in just 1 year. The people who survive, the people that are the sheep that are going to be allowed to remain, these are the mortals. When Jesus comes back, they're going to be in their mortal bodies. He's going to heal them They're going to be his human subjects for the 1,000 years. And he's also going to, by healing them, he's going to take away blindness. Think about it. The deaf are going to hear. The lame, if you're lame, you're going to be able to walk. Cancer, glory be to God, gone. Heart disease, gone. If any of them have any of these conditions. All diseases, gone. Because what we see Jesus doing in the Gospels, he's going to do for all his earthly subjects. He's going to heal them. Think about that. You know, I've often, because sometimes when people say, pray for me, I will. But if I pray for you and God heals your heart condition, because you know, a lot of people, they get their identity and their disability. Have you met people like that? If you have a disability, that's not because, I wouldn't think it's because you wanted it, but it's just the reality you have to deal with. But I've had a few people, that's their identity. When you, how are you doing? Well, this and that and that. It says, hey, God be good, you know, he's taking good care of me. But some people identify with their disability. And you know, in the Gospels, when Jesus healed a man who couldn't walk, well, after he got up and he could walk, I guess one of the things you're going to have to do is go find a job, right? If God takes away something and it's no longer in your way, then you're going to have to work. Well, think about it. God's going to heal those people. So that's going to restore productivity. And then we have the prophecy in Isaiah 65, verse 22, part B. I love this. For as the days of a tree, trees live a long time, don't they? So will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will enjoy the works of their hands. This is what Jesus promises. When I come back and I deal with people, I'm going to restore that which was taken by sin and the curse. These healthy mortals are going to have healthy children. Isaiah 65, verse 20. Never again. Never again, Jesus says. If you've ever had lost a child, you know this pain. But how about one that just barely got started, stillborn? Or how about a miscarriage, a child that was growing in your womb, miscarried? I want you to know that that person still exists. And because of what happened to them, they are safe in the arms of Jesus. And they are going to resurrect with us when Jesus comes for his own. Because they never had a chance to even grow up to hear that Jesus loves them. They are safe. That's why we don't worry about little ones who pass. But when Jesus comes back, never again will there be an infant that lives but a few days. That is so heart-wrenching to see obituaries and to see some precious little baby that only made it a few weeks or a few months. Jesus said, when I come back and I make earth great again, that is going to stop as well. Isaiah 65, verse 23. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune. It's not going to happen. Little ones are not going to perish under my rule and reign. This is the promise through the prophet Isaiah for that time. So the earth's population will soar. Poor health will not be a barrier to this time of productivity and prosperity. The third barrier is nature. Oh yeah, nature can really. Think about those poor people. When I saw one of the men, or maybe it was a lady, talking in North Carolina to the president this week, she said, we didn't have flood insurance. We live in the mountains. Flooding is what goes on by the river, right? By the ocean. When you live in the mountains, you don't expect to get a deluge of rain day after day from a hurricane that causes your creeks to become raging rivers and washes away your property. This is what happened. Damages from 2021 natural disasters. I looked that up too. They totaled $145 billion. The costliest 2021 events were Hurricane Ida, $75 billion. Mid-February winter storm and a cold wave that cost $24 billion in 2021. And Western wildfires a couple years ago cost $10.9 billion. What do you think these fires are going to cost? You've seen the devastation, haven't you? The president flying over. They showed a picture of Hiroshima after we dropped the bomb on them in World War II and Pacific Palisades. And it's like, oh my goodness. It looked like a bomb was dropped. What do you think the damage is going to be for all those homes that have been, I mean, neighborhood after neighborhood, business after business? This is what nature can do. This is what, I know, we can get into all of that mismanagement and all, I mean, I'm with you. But the reality is it's happened, and these people are looking at rubble for a home. Adding the 2021 events that I shared with you that began in 1980 up until 2021, there were 310 weather and climate disasters, and the overall damage of each of those was $1 billion or more. So we add the cumulative effect of just the disasters from 1980 to 2021, not counting these fires, not counting what happened in North Carolina, $2.15 trillion in damage. During the millennium, no earthquakes, no extreme weather, no tornadoes, no hurricanes, no blizzards. Animals and humans are going to live together in peace again. And this is why in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 12, the seed will grow well, the vine will yield its fruit, the ground will produce its crops, and the heavens will drop their dew. Ezekiel 35, verse 26, I will bless them and the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. Just the right amount. Just what you need. Why? Because the environment is going to be brought in harmony with its creator. There's going to be an increase in light. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26, the moon will be as bright as the sun, and the sun will be seven times brighter, like the light of 7 days in one. So it will be when the Lord begins to heal his people and cure the wounds he gave them. I don't know if you've ever seen, but in Matanuska Valley, Alaska, it's pretty fertile farmland, and they will show what they can grow. Because the spring, summertime, they have so much light. I mean, I've seen heads of cabbage that were like huge because of the sunlight. So can you imagine when the earth is brought back into harmony with God and the sun is shining its glorious light, and plants, of course, need that light. This is the blessing that is promised. This increase in light is going to cause major productivity even on the farming level. Amos 9, verse 13. The time will come. It's still future, says the Lord, when the grain and the grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. Then the terraced vineyards on the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine. The fourth barrier that Jesus is going to remove would be the communication barrier. You know, not being able to talk to people can be a problem, right? There's a young man in the school system that I sub for, and he's from Haiti. At the beginning of the year, he didn't know any English. And so everybody was like, well, we don't know French. But through apps on the phone and some other things, and then when I was there subbing, they gave me this tablet. It was remarkable. Turned it on. I hit the app. And so then I'm holding it like this. This is a strap. And so he's in the class. It came with him. And so as I'm talking, like I am to you, I'm seeing the English words, and it's translating. He wore this little device in his ear, so that he was hearing me, but he was also hearing the French translation of what I was saying. So that was rather remarkable. Technology has really come a long way. And by the way, I was just there the other day, and he's talking in English, because he came in, it was indoor recess, and he came in, I was sitting at the desk, and I went, yes, may I help you? And he goes, I need a piece of paper. I said, there it is. And he went, thank you. I said, see you in a little bit. So then off he went with this piece of paper because it was they were in another room doing something. Language is a gift from God. And you know, everybody spoke the same language until the Tower of Babel when God had to shut down that evil operation. It became a problem, obviously. It's still a problem for us. But can you imagine to stop that satanic project that you read about in Genesis 11? That's why God had to intervene and confuse languages. But during the millennium, here's an interesting prophecy from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. Do you have that one, Senor Zach? For then, this is a prophecy of what's going to be like during that 1,000 years. I will restore, this is God speaking, to the peoples, not just people, peoples, a pure language that they may all call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord. Now, I can't proceed to give definition to what all that means, but just the fact that the barriers that we face now in being able to communicate that affects our ability to be able to prosper and be productive, he's going to even address that. A fifth barrier, the final barrier, is ignorance. Ignorance is no excuse of the law. Isn't that what they say in the court system? I didn't know, officer, that that was against the law. Well, it doesn't stop that person from giving you a ticket. Ignorance. You know, why are we here? You hear people talk about what's our purpose in life? Why are we here? All of that ignorant talk. And yet here's what Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14 says. For the earth will be filled with knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You do realize 71% of the earth is underwater, okay? So think about that. As the waters cover planet Earth now, during that time, because Jesus is on the planet, people can see him. He can speak and all of that. There's not going to be this, I didn't know there was a God. I didn't know there was a Savior. I didn't know, you know, God was on the earth again. That knowledge is going to be there. There will be a universal knowledge. And that's going to eliminate inadvertent opposition. People say, I didn't know God was real. Oh, you'll know very much he's real. So that ignorance will be gone. Worship will be amazing. Why? Because we worship, you know, I'm going to go back to Thomas again. When Thomas acknowledged Jesus, the doubting disciple, remember? And he touched him, and he was so overwhelmed it was Jesus, he fell on his knees and he says, my God and my Savior. That's what he said. Jesus said, blessed are you, Thomas, because you get to see me and believe. But he went on to pronounce a blessing to everybody future. Because he goes, blessed are those who will believe and they will not see me. Have you seen Jesus yet? I haven't. All right. I've never had a vision of Jesus. Some people have seen visions of Christ because he's appeared to people, especially in countries where the gospel cannot be preached. Daniel Shiesta had an encounter like that. His wife had an encounter. There have been others. And that tells me that Jesus, one, is very much alive. Two, he's very active in bringing people to himself. But then the other reality is for you and I, we believe and yet we haven't seen him yet. We will see him one day. We will be able to look. Moses wanted to see God and he got a glimpse of the glory. But God says, I can't let you see me because if I do, you'll die. My holiness, the brilliance of my being, because you are in a fallen state, it will not go well. But I'll let you catch a glimpse of me as I pass by. But the Bible says one day we will be able to look and see God with our eyes. Imagine the people living during the millennium, those believers, but also those children that are born. They are going to be able to see the Creator, to see Jesus in his earthly body, there ruling and reigning. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on all flesh to indwell, to fill, and to teach those mortals. We read about this in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And so in conclusion, Our scripture reading from Isaiah chapter 65 is just part of the giant iceberg on teaching. We're told what it's going to be like on that day when Jesus comes back and rules over planet Earth. People are going to enjoy the fruit of their labor because lifespans are going to extend throughout that millennial period for the faithful. There's going to be no unproductive labor because Jesus is going to remove all barriers that get in the way to keep people from being productive. You know, work is not a bad thing. I know some people that, work, it's not a bad thing, okay? Young people are not going to be cut off due to war, disease, disaster, starvation. No more, he said. Little ones aren't going to experience what sometimes little ones have to face here. And parents and children are going to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. These are just a few of the promises. And you know, people are like, well, I wish I could know more. Well, this is what we do know. So we cherish in what we know. The fact that people, and we're going to be, what are we going to be doing? We talked about that class. What are we going to be doing? Because we were rescued, right? We were given glorified bodies. So what are we going to do? We're going to rule and reign with him. We're going to interact with these people. We're going to be given assignments. Think about the parable Jesus told about to the faithful servants. And he said, to you, I will give charge over a couple cities. Another one, I'll give you more cities. You know what that's teaching us? Your service now matters. And I was sharing this in our Bible study before worship. Sometimes you and I think, oh, I'm just nobody. I don't do anything. You are salt. You are light. And just interacting with people in the store, at the post office, on vacation, at work, just being the calm in the storm because you've got Jesus in your equation. You don't realize the good that you are doing in this world. And I don't think we're going to fully realize it until we're in his presence. And then we'll realize the difference we made. And as I shared with the group this morning, in Bible study, people are like, you know, you Christians, we could be really happy if you would just go away. Shut up. Stop talking about this Holy One. Stop. Ooh, I'm going to pray for you. I don't want you to pray for me. You know, there are some people that get real hostile when you reach out in a loving gesture, right? So you just stand there all befuddled. Wow. Wow, you really are. Got some anger issues here, right? Some faith issues. But the fact is, when Jesus takes us out of the way and the 7-year tribulation begins to unfold, it's going to be an ugly picture. And that's why people, when they read Revelation, oh, it freaks me out. It should. Because this is what happens to a world that's had 2,000 years to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This age of grace. It's like the Noah Ark, right? Everything was going great until that door got shut and then judgment came. And so I just want to encourage you not to minimize the importance you play, not only in your families, but also with your neighbors, with your work associates. You make a difference. And you don't appreciate it because some of us get beat up by this world. But I want you to know your service is appreciated by Jesus. This is why in Revelation it says that your prayers are so precious to Jesus that somehow he captures them in a bowl. And it talks about during that tribulation period up in heaven, the prayers of the saints are being burned as an incense, and it's a sweet aroma to God. I don't know what all that means, but I know this. Our prayers, even though we don't always see the answers to them, we think, oh, is it falling on deaf ears? Oh, it matters. And there again, I think this will be revealed to us one day. But that our service is being monitored. Not for salvation. You're saved by the blood of Christ. But one day when Jesus has to give assignments, because he says we're going to rule and reign with him, it's based on the faithfulness now that will determine what assignment he can give us in the future. Praise his name. Aren't you glad for Jesus in your equation? You know, when we have struggles, I should have gotten an amen out of that, but that's all right. You're a subdued people. Where I come from, I would have got a few people going, amen. But that's all right. He's in your equation. Never will he leave you. Never will he forsake you. And the fact that he has your best interests in the now, but also in the future. That's just an amazing thing. You know, we're destined to live with him forever. And that's not going to be boring. Oh, I'm going to float around on a cloud. I'm going to be plucking a harp. That is just stinking, thinking, human. We don't understand what it means to live in the presence of the Almighty yet. That is not what we're going to be doing in eternity. I hope you know Jesus, because if you don't, it's real simple. You're a sinner. Without Jesus, you're doomed. Jesus came to be your Savior. Call upon the name of the Lord. Put your trust in him. And he guarantees, I'm better than the Allstate guy. You're not only in good hands, you're with me. You got a piece of the rock too, because you belong to Jesus. He's got you now. He's got you in the future. Put your trust into Jesus. That's how one gets saved. It's not joining a church, getting sprinkled, getting dunked. These are things we do because we love Jesus. But they don't save us. You've got to call on Jesus in faith for yourself. But for those of you who love him, the good news is he's going to give a golden age. Now, I'm going to enjoy these next 4 years, the reprieve. I know there's still yakking people out there. I'm still going to enjoy it. I've been enjoying watching news all week, basking and watching eyes bleed and heads explode. Common sense. Sounds so good. But anyhow, the golden age, when earth is made great again, is when Jesus comes back. Let's bow for prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you, and I pray that none of our young people will be so discouraged in knowing that you're coming that they'll give up. No. They must continue to move forward, making plans, hopefully including you in all their plans, whether they go to school, where they work, who they marry. But Lord God, they need to keep you at the center of all those plans, but they need to move forward. All of us do. That's why we talk about other renovations to this facility, paving a parking lot. Lord, we continue to move forward until you say, hey, it's time. Next phase of my operation takes place. So help us, Lord, to have the faith to, Lord, trust you even when we go through the chaos of our own, sometimes our own crises. We all face trouble in this world because of sin and the curse. But you've overcome them, and Lord, we can be overcomers when we trust you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all God's kids said, amen. Amen. Have a good week.